tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hello and welcome to Transformer Radio on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Victoria Reese, the founder and director of Transformer. And I'm here today with the curator and artists from the current exhibition at Transformer, Where We Came From and Where We Are Going. For those of you new to Transformer Radio, Transformer is a nonprofit visual arts organization based at 14th and P Northwest in Washington, D.C. We are a 17-year-old nonprofit visual arts organization that connects and promotes emerging visual artists and experimental artistic concepts. We are thrilled to be featuring this current exhibition that was guest curated by Kimmy Katata. And I'm going to start out with Kimmy today, asking her to tell us how she conceived of this exhibition and why she feels it's so important at this time to be presenting this work.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I thought about this exhibition a couple years ago. I think I've always been really interested in identity issues, and I wanted to think about immigration instead of just a broad general picture of immigration. I wanted to kind of really narrow down on personal stories. And so, yeah, my dad had immigrated to the U.S. when he was 7 years old from Japan. And so it's a really personal show to me. I guess when my dad first came to the U.S., he had to adjust to a completely new lifestyle and language. And my dad telling me all these stories about how he kind of integrated into living in America for the first time kind of just spurred all of these ideas for me in terms of thinking about the artist's perspective and then tying it together with several different stories. So the exhibition features five artists, and then the two that are here right now, Donnie Gaudiar and Eliseo Casiano. I'm really pleased to have their work in the show. And then we also have Keisha Scarville, Gelare Koshkozlerin, and Karina Spirsky in the exhibition as well.
I thought it was really interesting when we got your proposal and you were introducing the different bodies of work to us, mm-hmm. that the overall concept you had was really about looking at immigration and migration through the personal stories of the artists and the biographies mm-hmm. of the artists. And I'm curious, you know, what it is about those personal stories that really struck you, and how you see them through the artist's work really being able to communicate to an audience this conversation that you're interested in exploring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think all the artists are in a way looking back at their own family histories, and that was super important to me. I think also, like, there's just such a broad span of different stories of why people immigrate to the U.S. and kind of being able to settle here and like build a new life and kind of assimilate into cultures and keep parts of your homeland and those values as well. And so I think with these artists, just because there's such a difference in like Donnie's story coming from India and then Karina's story, she looks back at her great grandmother who traveled across Ecuador. And I think, yeah, I just love the idea of the individuality of each story and how each one is also, each artist communicates through a different medium, and I think that's also really significant.
I think that's a perfect segue to ask the artists that we have here, the two artists we have here today, about their stories and their work and how they approach the pieces that are included in the exhibition. So I'll start with Donnie Gaudiar. I know that you are from India originally, mm-hmm. And that you live in New York.
Yes.
And I will let you take it from there and tell us about how you started creating your work and the focus of your work. Yeah.
So I am from India, and I moved to the States about 9 years ago.
Before this, my work had a very autobiographical approach. Currently, I work with stories of immigrants, especially people of color. I think, to a certain extent, even if I'm working with stories of immigrants that have moved from different countries, I think there is an autobiographical element to it somewhere. As I spoke to different people, I think the first year after I moved to the U.S., I realized that people had heavy stories to really tell. And these stories get lost. Like, nobody really hears of these stories. And one of my favorite artists, Vodichko, Krzysztof Vodichko, always says that there's a lot of media around immigration, but there's not enough people's voices coming through. And that was actually, that set a, that something about what he said, I think, struck a note with me. And I just started, initially, I just started collecting people's stories, just talking to them, asking them questions about their experience here, their struggles, their families. And I really wanted to bring this across to the public and make them more sensitive about the issues that lie within immigrants.
And how tell us about your artistic discipline and the work that you create, and how you use that art discipline to communicate.
So I'm an installation artist. I primarily come from a painting background. So I use drawings, hand-cut paper. So I make huge hand-cut installations that has elements of their culture, of their home, of their family. And I include text from the stories that I've collected from them. Sometimes I use drawings on the handmade paper. So there is a meaning to the handmade paper that I use. Handmade paper is, it changes body over time. And it is very similar to the experiences of immigrants. It is not like your story 10 years ago is a totally different story now. Mm-hmm. So that the material kind of resonates with that. I use safety pins. Safety pins are very delicate material, but they have this capacity to hold heavy narratives together. My mom used to use safety pins. She used to wear a sari and the complex drapery, which is a dress in India, and it holds this very complex folding together with just a few safety pins. And I use a lot of Indian ink for painting. I think the luminosity of the material really translates well. I use colors that are significant to the immigrants' culture. And sometimes I use text that is in English, the things that I really want to communicate to the people here. And sometimes I use text that is the native language of the immigrant. Because I want to reverse this role. Like, you know, sometimes people are not might not be sensitive to other people's accent, especially when you speak a different accent. And just reversing that role, I think, is something that I constantly try in my work as well.
The work is gorgeous. I really encourage people to come and visit. It's currently it's displayed in our storefront window, so there's an immediate interaction with the work. And it was exciting to see. We had looked at other images of your work that were mostly done in white, and to see these vibrant colors, it's just, it makes me think of all these gorgeous saris, actually, that and really vibrant. So it's exciting work and so thoughtful. So Alessia Cassiano is another artist in the exhibition who's here with us today. And you are originally from Oklahoma,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Are you first generation or second generation?
I'm second.
I'm curious if you can tell us about your experience as second generation and your family coming to the United States and living in Oklahoma, and how that all influenced you growing up and your work. And
yeah, so I'm really coming at it as a, I guess, more social mobility. So I'm thinking about my family's experience with the long legacy of migrant workers. So I like to document those stories, and in this exhibition, I'm illustrating a story of my grandmother and her youth as a migrant worker and her experience in that sense. I really tend to think about the past, and I look at how I was given this opportunity to make art and how my family, my ancestry have worked with their hands their entire life. And so I frequently think about that and like really how lucky I am. So with this exhibition, I have this beautiful portrait of my grandmother, And I, once you see it, you'll kind of get some of the sense of what I was trying to achieve. But I really do. I tend to look at the past, and so even when I'm eating, if there's fruit on the table, I'm thinking about how just a generation ago my mother was picking the strawberries that are on my plate, and so I tend to not take those things for granted. And so that's really where I come across in illustrating my paintings.
And did your family emigrate from Mexico?
Yes. Yeah, so my family originates from a couple of border towns in Texas. So a lot of my work really deals with border culture. A big chunk of my family is from Laredo, Texas. And just that border culture, it used to be pretty natural. So my babysitter growing up was in Mexico. My mother would take me across the border and I would stay in Mexico. And it's just not really treated the same anymore.
I mean, there are pieces of this in wall. I mean, it's a nightmare. And I mean, I know you're living in Arizona now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're in the hot seat of where these current conversations around immigration are happening. And it's so volatile and, and heartbreaking, really, you know. So I'm curious if you can tell us a little bit, you know, just what the feeling is in Arizona and how, if you still have family that are on that Texas border, like how they're dealing with this. And
it's a little strange to me. I guess just that narrative that border towns are scary to begin with, or that they're dangerous or not welcoming. From my experience, that's not how it is everywhere. You can go in any larger city and you're going to find something dangerous. So I worry about that loss of a relationship between both of these countries in that sense. Even if you go to El Paso is a beautiful city that has a sister city. And it's the same. I think it's the same as Arizona. You're likely going to get the people that don't want to see someone like me. But I haven't necessarily experienced anything personally yet.
Yeah, it's so important, I think, that to be having this conversation through this exhibition right now. We're so honored to be presenting it at Transformer. And I was really struck, actually, Kimmy, by some of the writing that you shared with us and how you were inspired to put together this exhibition from the writings of Jacqueline Babha, is that correct?
Yes.
And her work, Can We Solve the Migration Crisis? And I'm curious if you can speak a little bit more to that and what elements of her writing you're really honing in on.
Yeah. Jacqueline Babha has this incredible text that was published in 2018, so it's very recent. She's a professor of human rights at Harvard, and she also heads a research institution about global migration. So yeah, her work was just incredibly influential when I was kind of researching back, because I wanted to look back to see right now where we are in the country on immigration, like how there are all these different immigration issues, laws, how everything came to be today. And so I was using that text to kind of get a sense of why people immigrate in the first place. Babha has some kind of groundings in different ideas of migration that are fueled by trade and commerce, or migration for a better quality of life, migrations that are colonial, and also migrations that are forced, kind of desperation migrations. So that's like refugees. I just kind of wanted to investigate all of those topics. And I think instead of like proposing a solution, I want people to kind of just be able to have more of empathy and generosity.
Yeah, I thought that you were focusing on and having the artists, inviting artists or selecting artists whose work was focusing on quality of life, mm-hmm. and the concepts, really the realities of the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious for the artists, if you can speak to that a little bit, like how both of you, I mean, for a first generation. And I know, Donna, you also have a young daughter, yes. right? And how this the idea of American dream
translates
for you, yeah. And how you also hope it translates for your daughter.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason why my family, I live with my husband and my daughter in New York, and the reason why we migrated here was a better quality of life, which we do have. We are blessed to have that, like, you know, based on what Eli was also saying, like, we're very lucky to have that. It was to have a better quality of life, expose our families to this as well. So it's always, I think... Right now, we did have thoughts about going back, but then my daughter was born here, and I think you hear these stories about parents staying back for their daughter. Yes, a big part of us still stays back for us, but I think there's a little bit of a divide there, because our parents live in India, so as they grow old, you feel responsible for them as well. So. It's a very, I think right now I'm in a kind of a fluid state that I think first generation, like, you know, first, the people that first migrate to the US sort of go through. But I think we do think of a dream of living here, giving Sachi a good life. Sachi is my daughter. And these are the kind of stories that I actually get drawn towards my work as well.
Yeah. Eli, for you, it's a second generation American,
I think I'm looking toward the beauty of representation, and so I consider that in my own work and what I feel I need to do. So in my sense, I'm trying to teach, and I'm trying to maybe reach out to some of the kids that would have been like me and feeling a little bit of that assimilation growing up. So I just see, when I think about the American dream, I think about everyone being present and everyone being at the table.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of melting pot is something that we've heard, you know, growing up in the United States. It's a term that you hear in history class and from the time you're very young. And I mean, it's a beautiful concept in a way, how we are so influenced and have the gift of so many different cultures and perspectives in this country. And I feel we're at a moment right now where that's almost trying to be taken away from us. And that as a people, these concepts of a wall and division is almost trying to rob us of the richness of all the cultures that make up America. It was so touching and beautiful to receive a note from your grandmother, Kimmy, who said that she really hopes that through this exhibition, people will have more empathy towards the idea of people who of the American dream and people who are immigrating to the United States to seek better quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you can tell us a little bit how that really influenced you as a curator or to pursue being a curator, and if this is a thread through other exhibitions and work that you're pursuing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I wanted to use this exhibition as kind of a way to open up dialogues in different ways. I think I've admired the work of all the artists for years, and so I just wanted to be able to share and support artists of color. And also, I think with my grandmother, she and my grandfather had gotten married at a time when interracial marriage was illegal, and that's always shocking to me because it doesn't seem like that long ago. And they had met at Antioch College together, and my grandfather was Japanese, and he was interned. And then he ended up enlisting in the U.S. Army and being in the military for the rest of his life. And so I'm also thinking about his story, and that has also played a huge role in me wanting to do this show.
Are you all also engaged in education, art education, or education in general? Do you each teach?
Yes. I do.
You do, yes. Donnie.
Yes. So I work at an organization called Artec Collective, which is funded by AHRC NYC. And we support people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And we provide training for artists wanting to pursue a professional career in the arts.
Yeah, I ask about the teaching because I'm curious about engagement with young people right now. And young people, whatever generation of American they might be, and how they are kind of, if they are grappling, how they're thinking about issues of immigration, given the political climate that we're dealing with. And Eli, you mentioned that you are seeking to educate through your work. So I'm for both you and Donnie, I'm curious if, you know, that this if this conversation is happening with young people that you're working with, and, you know, what their questions are, and what their understanding is, and is there a fear or anxiety, or is it more just curious? Or
yeah, so I would say in my youth, I did not see people that looked like me in the art field. So I really didn't think of art in a real sense. So one of the things that I wanted to do retroactively was create a scholarship for a person of color. So at my alma mater, for my BFA, I started a scholarship for a female or non-binary person of color. So that's like my first step in like actually trying to help or try and show my commitment to representation. So that's something I want to continue in other programs. And so I'm trying to, I guess, get that jump started and make other people want to do that as well.
That's incredible. That's fantastic. I, Donnie, I know, in mentioning that you're working with artists with disabilities, I mean, that's a whole other sense of other, too. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if you could speak about that, because I'm sure you've got students who are twofold. You know, they're dealing with a physical or a mental disability, and then also perhaps, you know, exploring their own culture or family histories. And
so a lot of people that we support primarily move here from other countries because they don't have good healthcare. The rights for people with disabilities is way better in the United States compared to a lot of countries. When I listen to stories, I'm actually shocked. They are protected by laws. They're protected by a lot of things here, which they don't get enough protection for in their own countries. I think a lot of them, either way, like, you know, I think just being a person of disability, sometimes people might think, and this is something that we've experienced when we go out with them in the community, is people think they're weird, actually, but it's not. It's a part of their disability that might be making them speak or do certain things. Also, speaking a different accent sometimes gets in the way for them as well. So I think they find freedom in art. Something that I've experienced in the past 4 years of my teaching experience with them is they're happy when they're making art, and they're able to express their story about themselves and their interests and their families too. I actually love working with adults with disabilities.
That's great. Thank you. I wonder if there is a final sort of takeaway that you might want, each of you might want to share with listeners about either your work or this exhibition overall. Kimmy, I'm looking at you, I'm giving you the eye.
I mean, I just hope when people see the exhibition, they can kind of look at it with, I don't know, just going into it from their own personal lens and being able to interpret each work, take away whatever they will from it, I think, from their own kind of like background and standpoint. But I just want everyone to kind of like approach the show and be able to come at it with a certain sensitivity, and hopefully can also engage in some new conversations.
And Eli, or
I would say to for an audience to consider how they can help and make sure they're on the right side of history.
I would go off with what Kimmy and Eli said. I think they couldn't have put it, I couldn't put it in more eloquent words. It's an exhibition that speaks about what happens to people today, what has been happening to people yesterday. It's a very, the artists, like, you know, my co-artists have really put in really intimate but powerful work that needs to be seen. I want to thank Transformers and Kimmy for putting this whole thing together. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's entirely our honor. I'm really proud to be presenting this exhibition and all of your work. And for those, for those of you who are just tuning in or closing out, or Jack with Full Service Radio will help tweak this and make it right. But we are talking about the exhibition, Where We Came From and Where We Are Going. It is on view at Transformer in Washington, D.C. at 1404 P Street Northwest, opening this evening, March 9th, and it is up through April 20th. We really encourage everyone listening to come by and look at this really thoughtful, beautiful, vibrant work that the artists have contributed to the exhibition. It is free, open to the public, Wednesdays through Saturdays, 12 to 6 p.m. You can learn more at www.transformerdc.org. And I'd like to thank Full Service Radio for having us today. Again, we are Transformer Radio on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Victoria Reese, the founder and director of Transformer. And it has been my absolute privilege to speak today with Kimmy Katata, the exhibition curator, and two of the featured artists, Donna Gadiar and Eli Cassiano. Thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing you at Transformer.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.